The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "Saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves." What is the that? Is it faith, or is it being saved? Let's clear it up today here on Grace in Focus. Thank you, friend, for joining us. Grace in Focus is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We have a website, faithalone.org, where there are many things to learn about the Grace Evangelical Society. One is our online seminary, where you can earn an MDiv degree, and it's free if you keep your grades up. Come study with us. Find out more, faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
All right, Sam, I think you have a question for us that relates to Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast."
Yep, it's a question from LS, and their question is really about the Reformed perspective on this verse. So their question is, for those who believe that faith is the gift in Ephesians 2:8, why are they so focused on providing evidence for faith or determining whether faith is genuine or real? Because if they're saying that faith is a gift from God, then if you question someone's faith, you're really questioning God's gift. So I think the first thing maybe we should talk about is, what is the gift in Ephesians 2:8?
Okay, so in Ephesians 2:8-9, the word for faith is pistis, which is feminine. In Greek, as in many languages, nouns can take on gender. So they can be masculine, they can be feminine, or they can be neuter. Mm-hmm. The same thing is true with pronouns and relative pronouns. So when you get to, "For by grace you have been saved through faith," feminine noun, "and that not of yourselves," that is a demonstrative pronoun and it's neuter. If it was going back to faith, a feminine demonstrative pronoun would have been used. Mm-hmm. When a neuter demonstrative pronoun is used, it typically goes back to the verbal idea found in the preceding clause. So when it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith," it's talking about the salvation, not the grace and not the faith. It's the whole "by grace you have been saved through faith." All of that is the gift of God, but specifically it's the salvation. Remember in John 4:10, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Mm-hmm. Well, we learn in verse 14 that the gift of God is everlasting life in John 4:14. So salvation is the gift of God in John 4:10-14, and salvation is the gift of God in Ephesians 2:8-9. And it would be wrong to say that faith is the gift of God. But now you get to the related question of, why then do Calvinists question each other? Because it's not so much that people are questioning themselves, although they do that. But it's rare that I hear a Calvinist pastor say, "You know, I doubt my own salvation." Now, I have heard that. R.C. Sproul was very honest, and he would sometimes say that he feared he might not have genuine faith, and he feared he might end up in hell. And before he died, he wrote and said things like that. But most Calvinist pastors and theologians don't do that. They act like they're okay, but they're really concerned about their congregation, mm-hmm. the people they minister to. And it seems to me it has to apply also to the preacher. In other words, if the preacher is questioning his congregation, he's also going through doubts in his own life, especially when something bad happens. He has road rage, he gets mad at his spouse or whatever. Certainly, he has to wonder, "Oh, am I a true believer?" Well, why do they do that? The reason Calvinists do that is because they do not believe that faith is simply being convinced.
There has to be some kind of repentance, change of heart, change of behavior, some kind of physical evidence.
All of the above, is not even just the evidence. All of the above is saving faith from their perspective. God gives you all of that. The way you know you have faith is by looking for these things which accompany it or which are a part of it, depending on which way you do it. Now, it's true, a lot of Calvinists would say faith isn't obedience. Obedience is the fruit of faith. But sometimes, like in the first edition of the Gospel According to Jesus, John MacArthur was criticized by some other Calvinists for essentially saying that faith is obedience. Mm-hmm. And then he subsequently toned some of those things down so that faith resulted in obedience or whatever. But ultimately, for the Calvinists, it's a tricky thing because they want to say that faith is the gift of God, which, by the way, is kind of odd. Why wouldn't you want salvation to be the gift of God? Of course, in their mind, according to the Calvinists, the new birth occurs before a person believes.
Right. You have to be regenerated before salvation takes place.
Right. So in their view, well, it's not the salvation taking place, it's the faith taking place.
Right, the belief.
So in other words, in their view, the regeneration slash salvation occurs, and then a nanosecond later, faith occurs. Except I did read a book by a Calvinist named Smallman, and he said that he knew a case of a man who came to faith 60 years after he was born again. And he said, there are times when it takes place months or years or decades later.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
It's kind of an odd position that Calvinists had, but the gift of God is everlasting life. You also see that, for example, in Revelation 22:17. Let him who wishes take the water of life freely, it's dorean, as a gift, mm-hmm. without cost. And there's a lot of verses that show that there's no cost to salvation or everlasting life.
And that's exactly the context of verses 8 and 9, because it's talking about it not being of works, so the gift is inherently has to be free. I think just to look at it from the other side, if you read this verse just in English, I can see how you would get tripped up with the that, because it seems to be referencing back to the noun in the previous sentence. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. So the saved is the verb there, and the faith is the noun. But like you pointed out in the Greek, that it's not feminine, so it'd have to be feminine to go back to the faith.
It wouldn't absolutely have to, but it's extremely normal for neuter demonstrative pronouns to go back to the verbal idea or the whole construct, the by grace through faith salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But the emphasis there is on the salvation or you have been saved. And not only that, it wouldn't fit the other passages that talk about gift. This is one of the things about Bible study. If you want to study Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you might look up all the references to faith in the New Testament, for example. All the references to believe in the New Testament, because the verb and the noun are cognates. You might look up how salvation is used in the New Testament. And particularly, you would look at Ephesians 2, 5, because there the same exact expression occurs. And then he says, he made you alive, by grace you have been saved. So in verse 5, he makes it clear that the salvation refers to rebirth, mm-hmm. made alive. You would also look up the expression gift of God. The exact expression gift of God is used by the Lord Jesus in John 4:10. So it's unfortunate that people are trying to use grammar wrongly to support their theology. I get the fact that they're wanting to go to the nearest word. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that, okay, you could see how someone would think it goes back to the nearest antecedent. But that's not necessarily the case, especially when you have gender in the pronoun or in the noun.
And when you have another word that makes more sense, because it referring to the salvation makes more sense. If you're going to go with that line of reasoning, faith is a gift from God. He gives it to you. It's not something that's of yourself. Then if I as a Christian go to you as a Christian and say, well, you don't have genuine faith, then basically I'm saying that God didn't give you good enough faith to be saved.
Yeah.
He gave you bad faith. So there's a disconnect there.
And by the way, you know, maybe you're saying that facetiously, maybe you're not. But within Calvinism, it's very common to talk about genuine faith and false faith. And false faith, they would say, is still faith. In other words, they would say the person who is a false professor is still going to believe in the deity of Christ. They're going to believe that Christ died on the cross for their sins. They're going to believe he rose from the dead. They're going to believe he's coming again. But the reason theirs is false faith is because it doesn't have the surrender. It doesn't have the obedience. It doesn't have the commitment. It doesn't have the perseverance to the end of the life. So Calvinists are constantly looking at works to see, is it likely I'm going to persevere? And by the way, it's pretty clear in LS's question that the Calvinist or the Reformed perspective is deterministic. And what I mean by that is, for the Calvinist, you have nothing to do with your salvation, which in some ways sounds very pious, right? It's all of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is that that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, by grace, you're saved through faith. And they have to eliminate the through faith in order to make it to where there is no condition of faith. And Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. There's a condition to having everlasting life, and it's believing. And even though there's no merit in believing, it's not meritorious, it's not what Paul would call a work in Ephesians 2:8, yet it is an action. And the way we come to faith is by responding to God's drawing. You know, he's drawing all, and so with him drawing us, we respond. But the sad thing about determinism is you kind of go through your life hoping you're one of the elect. And if you're not, there's nothing you can do about it. And if you are, there's really nothing you can do to mess it up, although that's not the way Calvinists live. Because in reality, they live a lot like Arminians, thinking they can lose their salvation, or modern Calvinists often speak of failing to win final salvation. Good question, LS. I'd encourage all of you to study Ephesians 2:8 and 9. We have a lot of articles at our website, faithalone.org. So thanks so much, and remember,
keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, will teaching on contrition or repentance for salvation lead to a loss of assurance? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.